This podcast was recorded at 12:45 on Thursday, June 12th. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like Stormy Daniels will be ordered to do community service at Ballet Met. All right, let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and, shall we say, the ambitious Snollygosters who work in and around the State House and elsewhere. Steve Brown is on vacation this week, so as you likely surmised, Ann Fisher from All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News joins us this week. Welcome, Ann.
Lucky me.
Wow.
What a week.
You know, things have changed just in the past 12 hours.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. There is a lot going on here in Columbus. Stormy Daniels gets busted here in Columbus. Mike DeWine now fully supports major components of Obamacare. We've got Jim Jordan and the OSU wrestling investigation, a new Supreme Court nominee. We may not get to it all, but we're going to try.
And in true Snollygoster fashion, we'll start with the most frivolous, shall we? A story nobody saw coming. Stormy Daniels was arrested Wednesday night for violating the state's Community Defense Act, which prohibits patrons from touching a nude or semi-nude dancer.
Daniels was performing at a Northeast Columbus strip joint when at least four undercover vice cops say she allowed patrons to touch her breasts, which is illegal. Police say they have been cracking down on this in recent months.
Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, of course is the person who has claimed to have an affair with Donald Trump, something he denies. Her attorney says Daniels was set up and customers touched her in a non-sexual way. Wow. All I got to do was read the Dispatch story, but it didn't sound non-sexual. Maybe we need to define that.
Yes, I believe the commonly referred term is motorboating.
Yes, and you'll have to read the article
Google that yourself.
Google that. It was pretty graphic. Glad I read the story.
Yes, I'm not sure you can classify that as non-sexual, but it doesn't even have to be sexual to violate the Community Defense Act. You cannot touch an exotic dancer or a stripper anywhere in any manner, even in the parking lot.
You know, I think it was Stormy Daniels' lawyer said, come on, isn't there something better these police could be doing with their time? And I did have a question about whether or not they were identified as police when she was grabbing their heads and doing what she was doing.
No, I think typically the vice cops work undercover. So according to the reports that in the police say that they observed others in the crowd. I love they call them patrons.
Yeah.
Just like the folks at Augusta National and at Muirfield. They're patrons.
To the manor born.
That's
yes.
Right. They're not customers. They're patrons. Anyway, so these patrons were up apparently violating the Community Defense Act with Stormy Daniels. So then the police officers undercover went up and apparently did the same thing. And then they arrested her and two others, I believe.
Hmm.
So
what do we make of this? She's paid $6,000 in bail. She's canceled an appearance here in Columbus. All because of this.
Yeah. For Stormy Daniels and her attorney, mission accomplished. This is the best $6,000 bail money she'll have invested. Not what kind of penalty she'll get. And certainly it has to be a misdemeanor. Can't be she's not going to go to jail for this. It just puts her name back in the news.
Right.
She's all over the news. The attorney, I haven't seen him yet.
You
but
had
I'm
a
sure,
phone call from NPR in the middle
yes,
of the night.
2 o'clock in the morning. NPR wanted breaking news coverage of this. Thankfully, I was asleep at the time
right.
that call came in. But, you know, it's just an odd story. Here we are with all everything's going on. This is what we're talking about today.
I thought it was fake news. You know, when I heard it, I thought it was like an onion type of thing. It couldn't be real.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know she was coming.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently people at the strip club knew she was coming.
What are we looking at to make our plans for the evenings?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Remember how we said things could change? Well, right after we recorded that conversation, Columbus City Attorney Zach Klein announced the city will drop charges against Stormy Daniels. So, sorry, Ballet Met. No community service from Stormy. All All right, let's get to some real stories here. Not that that wasn't a real story, but let's get to some more serious stories, shall we say. There is no bigger lightning rod in Ohio politics right now than Congressman Jim Jordan of Urbana. And what happens to lightning rods? They attract big bolts of bad. The founder of the Freedom Caucus, the man who stirs the pot of the Tea Party, finds himself in the middle of a controversy that, again, very few saw coming.
Before he was a congressman, before he was a state lawmaker, he was a national champion wrestler and then wrestling coach at Ohio State. Now, this is very relevant because Jordan was an athlete and then an assistant coach during the time Dr. Richard Strauss stands accused of sexually assaulting athletes. Several wrestlers have come forward and said then Coach Jordan knew about the alleged abuse but brushed it off. Several other wrestlers have come forward and said Jordan was not aware of what was going on. Jordan says he was not aware of any abuse and reiterated his defense Wednesday to MSNBC.
Still denying that you had any knowledge of what happened.
I'm telling the truth. Look, I stood up to the Speaker of the House from my home state, stood up to the IRS, and have stood up to the FBI. To think that I would not stand up for my athletes is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it did say that several other wrestlers have come forward and said he was not aware of what was going on. How they know what he was aware of and what he was not aware of, I don't know.
I mean, this happened, what, 20, 25 mm-hmm. years ago? Unless there is a paper trail, unless there are, email wasn't even widely used back then, mm-hmm. Unless there were notes or memos written, like this is very similar to the OSU band director's situation when John Waters was, the former band director was fired for, according to the university, allowing a sexually charged culture. We all did public records requests, and we found memos dating back to the 80s that former band directors knew this was going on, and others were upset about it and told them to put a stop to it. Unless we see those types of memos, I think this is where this story probably ends, because it's going to be he said, he said. Jim Jordan says that he did not see any sexual assault. It did not see any sexual abuse. He words his statements very carefully. Even that one was a non-denial denial, just that one clip. He says, to say that I wouldn't protect my athletes is ridiculous, is not saying the same as I did not know this was happening. He has said he has never witnessed abuse, which is different than not knowing that abuse was happening.
And you make the salient point that, you know, he's a big shot in Congress now, and that when you're a lightning rod like Jim Jordan is, you're going to attract big bolts of bad, and that's true. But there's no evidence at this point that the Democrats are behind this, that this is politically motivated.
You know, this story kind of makes me feel uncomfortable because this story's been out here since April.
And it's a serious story.
And we have been reporting on it, mm-hmm. you know, pretty consistently, but not super aggressively. The Dispatch did talk to Jim Jordan back in April because they knew they checked the rosters, they saw he was a coach, and Jim Jordan said the same thing he's saying now, that none mm-hmm. of this, he didn't know any of this was going on. So somebody spotted Jim Jordan's name there, but I think it's because he is so controversial and is such a lightning rod that it just blew this story up. And because of who he is.
Exactly.
And the way he badgers witnesses who appear before Congress, this is kind of payback from his political enemies and, frankly, probably from enemies in the media.
Well, and it does taint him. I mean, when he's showing up at these political, to help out candidates across the country, it's going to dog him. And so it does affect his politics in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, he says he wants to run for Speaker should the Republicans hold the House. I don't think he was going to get it anyway.
Yeah.
There's no way now. Even if nothing else comes out, there's just no way they can.
It's just going to, it confuses things. It clutters the issues.
Dennis Hastert, they don't want a repeat of that. And then the whole Me Too and everything else and Penn State and what's going on at Michigan State. And they're not going to want to touch a politician who's any link to this at all.
Exactly. Let's turn now to another story that's just cropped up in the last 24 hours, and that's Medicaid expansion. Actually, that's an old story, but there's a new twist on it. Conservatives hate the major component of Obamacare, that is the expansion of Medicaid. But a lot of people, 700,000 Ohioans, rely on it for their health care. During the Republican primary for governor, Mike DeWine was cagey about the future of Ohio's Medicaid expansion, but he did attack his opponent for her support of it.
She supported Barack Obama's Medicaid expansion under Obamacare, then lied about it.
That was Mike DeWine taking on Mary Taylor, but that was then, and this is now. Now, Mike DeWine says he definitely will continue Medicaid expansion, but improve it. That stance likely got him the endorsement of the Ohio Medical Association this week. DeWine insists he has not changed his stance.
There's no change. What we have said is all along that it had to be reformed.
So Mike DeWine was telling Republicans when they were voting for him in the primary that all along he wanted to continue Medicaid expansion. I don't think I saw that in a Mike DeWine ad.
I don't think so. Because if we had, we would have gotten this tweet from the Buckeye Institute a lot sooner than today, which was the quote, "This is ill-advised." I think that would have popped up a little bit sooner.
Ill-advised. Well, you know, it shows you two things. One, that healthcare is a huge issue in this election. Polls show that more so than the economy, the number one issue among voters is healthcare. And Medicaid expansion is popular among all Ohioans, not among the far right who hate anything to do with Obamacare, not folks who are philosophically opposed to government healthcare. They still hate Medicaid expansion. But 700,000 people rely on it, and polls show that Ohioans support it. And Mike DeWine is just getting in line with most of Ohio.
Well, he's got to run in a general election now. I mean, it's not unusual for them to tweak things as they move into general election cycles. So it's not that surprising. But for him to say that nothing's changed is bizarre at the very least. And that attack ad on Mary Taylor, by the way, has never supported Medicaid expansion. She's gone so far as to criticize her boss, the governor of Ohio, for her stand on
that. That was referring to very early on, her saying, supporting her boss at the time.
At the time.
Medicaid expansion was good. I mean, they're all, this is why this is such a tricky issue for Republicans. Their base hates Medicaid expansion, but to get independent, even moderate Republican votes, they've got to at least say that they want to reform it or improve it.
And, you know, moving to another realm, the Ohio Democratic Party is asking, all right, so how much do you support Medicaid expansion? Now they're going to take that on and say, what do you mean by changes and how long will you support Medicaid expansion? A year? 2 years? That kind of thing. It's creating a whole realm, a whole line of questions.
Now, Mike DeWine does say that he wants a work requirement for mm-hmm. Medicaid expansion, and he also wants wellness checks to make sure people are living healthy. So that's a more conservative approach to Medicaid expansion, but still far from what Mary Taylor was saying is do away with it.
Exactly.
All righty. Now, before Stormy Daniels hit the news, the big story, of course, nationally was the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court. President Trump's primetime special announced the pick of the conservative but generally well-liked jurist.
Not surprising, the two Ohioans who will vote on his confirmation in the Senate, Republican Rob Portman and Democrat Sherrod Brown, differed in their first impressions.
He's everything you'd want in a judge, in my view. He's a very impressive candidate in terms of his qualifications and his experience, but also in terms of his compassion and his humility.
I want to know more about this nominee, but I know that he's been on the wrong side of he wanted to dismantle the Consumer Protection Bureau, which has saved billions of dollars for millions of Americans.
That tape, Brown tape, courtesy of WKBN-TV. And this seems like a pretty standard conservative nominee to the United States Supreme Court. No different than we saw with George W. Bush, with George H.W. Bush, for the most part.
I'd say the only thing that he said that sort of stands out for me is whether or not the chief executive of the United States can face criminal sanctions while in office. That does have a lot of people questioning, you know, where his loyalties will lie.
Yeah, I think this will be, he'll certainly get the 50 votes he needs in the Senate, I believe. He probably will end up with like 53, 54, basically the same as Neil Gorsuch got.
And, you know, it's interesting because right now it looks like the docket coming up for the coming season isn't going to be that controversial. Nothing compared to like the docket that, you know, that they considered this past season, which just ended. So they're going to kind of get him a year. It could be a couple years really before anything about a would-be Justice Kavanaugh pops up on our radar.
This will be probably the first real, there have been many consequences, policy-wise, regulation-wise, tax-wise, to the election of Donald Trump over mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton. But this is probably the most lasting, serious consequence to date over Hillary Clinton's defeat. Had she won, she'd be making this pick right now.
This is going to change the makeup of the Supreme Court for generations. They're all young people that he's putting in there. They're going to be around for a long time, all things being equal. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the rest of what would be the liberal wing of the court is aging.
Yeah. But as we learned with Justice Stevens, that you can't always tell how, and Justice Roberts with his vote to uphold Obamacare.
Right.
You never know. And these folks get into this court, and it's nuanced, and they if they follow the law, each case is different, and they mature on the court.
Yep.
So to say that Roe automatically gets overturned, I think, is a bit premature. Frankly, I don't think John Roberts is a slam dunk to overturn completely Roe versus
Wade. It is a big question about it's sitting justices right now that seem interested in or not as concerned with overturning precedent. So it's not necessarily that he'll come in and be that, you know, it'll be the Wild Wild West. Yes, they do mature. Yes, they but more importantly, they have complete security. It's a lifetime job. They never have to worry about being removed from the court unless they do something nefarious.
It'll be interesting to watch, to say the least. You know who did not have a visible opinion on the Supreme Court? John Kasich. Perhaps it's because he's too busy talking about foreign policy. It's time for John Kasich GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck. So,
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
I think I've eaten my way across the entire state of New York.
Ground control to Major Tom. Help me.
As we record this, John Kasich is in Washington. He spoke to the National Press Club about foreign policy and foreign trade. He probably is singing the same tune he did on Monday on CNBC.
What we're doing is we're creating a division with our friends who have kept the peace for 70 years in this world. And so we have to be careful that we're not fraying relationships that have kept us peaceful, safer, that includes free trade.
Same old, same old. But he was everywhere this week.
He was in Columbus at the Columbus Metropolitan Club.
Yeah, he was on CNBC. He did his rainy day news conference where we're rolling in dough now on the rainy day fund. We've hit our max. We can't put any more into the rainy day fund, which is another story. He was at the Columbus Metropolitan Club, as you said. He was at the National Press Club. I'd like to see his frequent flyer miles.
Well, he's a very busy guy. He's going to be in New Hampshire.
In November. He plans ahead.
It was still 15 months before the primary there. But yeah, he's planning ahead. And he has said some really important things. And he explained today, this week at the Metropolitan Club, why he is on so many television shows, why he is a spokesperson. He's sort of the spokesperson for the defunct GOP, the has-been, the former GOP. He's the only one out there. They can do it because he put it, was pretty critical of the GOP and as far as whether or not it will come out of its quote-unquote stupor.
Yes. Of course, it helps that your name's not on the ballot right away. Like Jeff Flake can be a little more outspoken. People like that. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. My thanks to Ann Fisher. Ann, thanks very much. It was fun.
You're very, very welcome. Fun week.
Steve will be back next week. Of course, you can hear Ann Fisher weekdays on 89.7 NPR News from 10 to noon. Or you can download her podcast, All Sides with Ann Fisher. And I think you had the very first podcast on WOSU.
Did I really?
I think so. I think you first put your show on iTunes. So if you like Snollygoster, if you like All Sides with Ann Fisher, tell your friends, your enemies, your neighbors, really anybody with a pulse. Just rate us on iTunes. We want to build audience for this. So until next week, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster on WOSU Public Media.